Hey friends, today we're going to catch up with evangelist and pastor, teacher of pastors, Elijah Abraham of Living Oasis Ministries. That's next.
Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hey friends, thanks so much for tuning in. And you know, if you've been following us for a while, you know we catch up with an amazing brother in Christ, Elijah Abraham, former Muslim, and for decades now he's been teaching the biblical worldview, traveling overseas constantly, and such a busy man in high demand. And we do not show his picture for security reasons. And just for our newer audience, I know there are a lot of new viewers, and just to let you know. So, Elijah, so good to have you back with us, brother. Looking forward to catching up.
It's always great to be with you, brother. It's wonderful, and I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your time. So we are going to get to your response to President Trump and the new administration, some of the progress already. And also, we're going to talk about a disturbing thing, the National Cathedral and the bishop, the female bishop, Marianne Edgar Budd or Booty, whatever her name is, just the disappointing. We got a clip of what she was preaching. For those of you that didn't see it, she was preaching at Trump and Vance about their policies when it comes to LGBTQ, when it comes to legal immigration, and on and on. So we're going to get to that in a minute. But Elijah, I want to find out, first of all, your recent trip, and then what are you preparing for? So let's start with where are you heading in the near future, and then we'll go to your recent travels.
Yeah, I appreciate you asking the question. Actually, I am in my final stages of preparing my teaching materials. I'm going to be going to Eastern Europe. I'll be gone for 6 weeks. I'll be going to four countries. I'll leave March 4th, return April 14th, I believe. I'll be going to Poland, Romania, Moldova, and of course, Ukraine. This will be my third trip to Ukraine. We've been doing a lot of humanitarian work. Lord really blessed our ministry and effort that way through our ministry partners and donors to help feed and sustain many of the widows and orphans, as well as those who are staying behind near the front lines in these villages. So praise the Lord for that. As I'm really hopeful now President Trump in the White House, I truly believe that this war will come to an end real soon. And then our ministry will do a little bit of humanitarian until things kind of get stabilized. And then our ministry will change into equipping the new leaders. Because during the war, half of the pastors left the country or died because they were recruited because of men to go to war and so forth.
Wow.
But just like what we experienced and we saw in Middle East and other parts of the world, when people go through war, they start seeking the true God. And God responds that way. And we've seen many people getting saved. I'm talking about by the thousands in Ukraine, as well as we saw that in Middle East. So in Ukraine, we're trying to prepare new leadership to disciple and lead these new believers. And our role, and I'm sure I'm not the only one going to Ukraine, as far as ministry, but our role is really to help these young believers to grow spiritually, but those who are God called to ministry, help them and equip them to lead their own people.
So when is this next trip, Elijah? When will that be?
I'll leave March 4th. I'll be gone for 6 weeks. My wife will join me the last 2 weeks of the trip and will continue in that journey. And we, of course, my wife will reach out and minister to the women in the churches that we minister to. I'm mainly in those countries. I'll do conferences to pastors as well as elders and seminary students. Topics anywhere from apologetics and Muslim evangelism to biblical theology and foundations, eschatology definitely there, and biblical counseling. You have no idea how biblical counseling is needed overseas. And I know it's needed here in America, Over there, I remember the first time I went to Eastern Europe in 2019, Moldova. Never been to Moldova, never heard of Moldova until they told me where. I said, "What can I do for you?" And I sent them some information and topic. They said, "Teach us how to deal with suicide. Help us understand depression. How to deal with this. How
Wow.
to deal with somebody who would have a critical spirit. How to deal with anger." I said, "Oh, okay. Well, let's see what the Bible have to say about these things." So I had to go back to my books and study. And I got a dear friend of mine. She does her ministry. She's got a wonderful counseling center. And I asked her if I could use some of her material. She said, "Glory to God." So it's been a blessing.
Good.
Eschatology, definitely a hot topic because, as you know, for the last 4 years, 5 years, with COVID and Biden administration and all of the nonsense that the world has to go through, people are very much anxious, afraid, don't know, uncertain of the future. But for the believers, they should not have these feelings. Why? Because we got the Bible, but nobody teaches them about eschatology from scripture point of view. So that's been really a great blessing to see. The light comes on in their head. They get excited. I had pastors and leaders when finally they get in the teaching, they stop me. They stand, say, sing, they dance, they say hallelujah. Some of them cry. It's just
Wow.
amazing. It's just amazing.
Wow. Faith over fear. Powerful. Powerful. The warnings, or not warnings, but just the admonition to fear not all throughout Scripture. So important.
Especially the persecuted church, persecuted pastors, talking about biblical heaven, talking about the second coming, talk about the rapture. It's all about hope that God is going to set the record straight and his righteousness is coming and we have an inheritance to be with him. And that by itself helps the persecuted Christians say, "You know what? I can handle the persecution. God is going to give me grace every day. But this is temporary. My home is with the Lord. I'm just an alien here, a traveler." So they can deal with it. So it's a blessing.
So, by the way, friends, the website, you can get more on Elijah's ministry at livingoasis.org. That's livingoasis.org. So, let's briefly just on Ukraine, just for another couple of minutes, Elijah. I know this is speculation, but I'm asking you to, and I know you're not a prophet, but I'm asking you to give us an idea of what you might expect come March. When you're over in the Ukraine, I know a lot could happen based on Trump's communication with Putin and Zelensky and all that. I mean, a lot could happen. It's just the end of January here. So just give us your thoughts on how that might change even your trip.
Well, I'm watching this really carefully, and Zelensky's already started losing support. We ha already start seeing some European countries saying, "You know what? We're not going to support the Ukrainian war effort. We cannot afford it. We're not going to give any money and so forth." Zelensky, I think he gave an interview yesterday or today or in the last 48 hours anyway, and basically said, "Well, our main partner is the United States. We need more troops, blah, blah, blah." He's desperate. And he's recognizing that the deep state is not in the White House. President Trump has no interest in carry on with this war. Actually, I'm sure you've seen his post to Vladimir Putin and others say, "Let's stop this killing and let's do it the easy way. But if you want to do it the hard way, we could do it the hard way." And that's a good thing. It's like a shot across the bow to both. Like, okay, you need to come to the table and let's make a deal. So that's my hope. That this war it'll be over by the time I get there, which I think the fast pace of the Trump administration just for the last few days, I think it'll be over, Lord willing, and that will make our ministry and other ministries and the rebuilding and it will be a whole lot easier. That's my hope.
Oh my goodness, when you said rebuilding and just what the people there are, they this isn't their fault that this war
They
and especially
lost.
the church there, that's
Yeah, they lost a whole generation. I mean, a huge population of men.
Wow.
So here's Zelensky asking, "Let's continue with the war. Who's going to fight it?"
Yeah.
So basically, he's asking foreign Troops or mercenaries to come fight his war. Well, some mercenaries, what do you call mercenaries? They did it, and they got hammered. They got killed, so a lot of them. But as far as military, I know France wanted to go, and everybody else, and I don't think it's going to happen. So, yeah, he's going to have no other option but come to the table, and definitely he's not going to regain the land that he lost. And for a very good reason, because this is a Russian population areas that he cut off water, cut off electricity, basically cut off food before the war. I'm talking about even the Azov battalion that was a Nazi battalion bombed them a number of times. That's why Putin took over Crimea to really to save the population. They were hammered. Putin's not going to give those territories, and I believe President Trump is understand that, and he's going to convince Zelensky, "Hey, take your losses and stop." So hopefully that's the case. But nobody asked me for my opinion except you.
Well, we hope so too. I think most people would think, yeah, we want this to come to an end. And just it's been just so tragic. And if Trump was in office, who knows? We can just speculate that the war probably wouldn't have even happened. Putin probably wouldn't have even invaded Ukraine.
Here's the issue. I truly believe that the media had a big, huge part of it as well. Here in America, they never told the true story. I've seen it and I know what the story is. And when I went to Eastern Europe and I've seen the East European Christians, forget about the rest of the population, but the Christians bought into the propaganda as well because that's all the media they have. So it's really sad. So I had to be very careful when I'm in Eastern Europe and talk to my partners, the Christian partners, about the situation because they are middle of it, they're close to it. But all I had to do was just ask them some really key, wonderful questions that makes them stop and think. I said, "Oh, I did not know this. I did not know this." So I'm helping them slowly open the window. Even when I went to Southeast Asia, to Indonesia, the pastors there, they have a whole different opinion of President Trump, which is a liberal American media being exported over there. And that's how they view President Trump. So when I ask them questions, they said, "Well, we did not know that. How do we know that?" I said, "Well, you guys are pastors. You ought to know and put your thinking hats on. Don't believe everything. This is all propaganda." And I'm not here just defending Trump. What I'm saying is truth. Whatever you hear and watch, put your thinking hats on, take it for granted, or do your research, and don't believe everybody. And that's what I tell my pastors that I train. I said, "Look, yes, just because I came from America and I'm teaching you this, don't just take my word for it. I got a screen here, the projector, all the notes, and everything is, I got the references in the Bible. So when you have the notes translated in your language, do your research and it's from scripture. If what I said is not in the Bible, take what I said and throw it out of the window." So that it's we have to kind of put our thinking hats on. And I think in America as well, many Christians being deceived.
So, Elijah, I wasn't planning on asking you this, but I just, with all the executive orders that I believe most of them, out of necessity, this President Trump had to do and was compelled to do by the voters. One of them, and I don't know how much we've talked about this or not, but the gender ideology, one of them to have to actually say as president, this is the policy that we are supporting and endorsing, that there are only two genders, male and female. I mean, that got the loudest applause, I think, in his State of the Union, or not State of the Union, in his when he was inaugurated. I think that got one of the loudest responses in all the places people were watching. And you think, wow, what would our great grandparents think? Why
They would
was
think
it?
that we're nuts
Yeah, why was it?
to
Why
eat.
would it be necessary for a president to
Exactly.
have to state this? Go ahead, and then we'll take a break.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, why does it have to take a president to say this and take this action? And the reason that he got the loud applause because everybody realized this is insane. This is not normal. It's illogical and it's not natural. And all of that is being pushed on populations, whether it be a believer or non-believer, and pushed around the world, exported around the world. And finally, the people said, "Finally, we have somebody have the guts to say, enough with this nonsense. It's black and white, male and female. That's it. So praise the Lord. I was excited about that.
Yeah, me too. And just it's just really astounding that we're having these conversations. But we're going to take a brief pause. LivingOasis.org is the website. We'll be right back with Elijah Abraham.
Introducing Patriot Mobile, the wireless carrier that stands with you. We are committed to supporting the values that make our nation great. With affordable plans and reliable nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile is not just a wireless service. It's a call to action for those who believe in the American dream.
Get free activation now with promo code David. If you are listening to this podcast via Apple or Spotify, please leave us a 5-star review. It does help the show rise in the rankings, and that gets more exposure for us, and we appreciate that very, very much. Also, we are on YouTube now, Worldview Matters, David Fiorazzo, no spaces. I've got my own YouTube channel as well as Rumble. Freedom Project has a Rumble channel, and this one is Worldview Matters, David Fiorazzo. So thank you guys for jumping on board, subscribing, following us there, and praise God for the growth and for your prayers. So Elijah Abraham is with us. He's in Texas between ministry trips. And one more follow-up question, Elijah, about the gender ideology. What do the countries that you go and visit, does this ever come up? Or, you know, what do they think? What do they believe in Moldova or Ukraine or places that you go about what is going on in America with gender ideology and drag queens and what? Go ahead.
Yeah, they think that we Americans lost their mind. literally. They say, I don't know what's going on in America. I said, pray for us because we have a delusional spirit has taken the land.
Yes.
And it's an antichrist spirit that hates Jesus, hate the church, hate humanity, hate marriage. And that's why Satan want to dilute marriage, want to dilute the identity of a male and female. So let's mix them all together. Hybrid humanity, all of that nonsense. And they think that we just lost our mind. Just to give an example, that the United States and the United Nations blackmail other countries. I'll give you an example. In Uganda, when they tried to push this homosexual marriage and homosexual ideology, and this has been going on for a number of years, and Uganda is one of the poorest countries in the world, and they have to depend on financial aid or United Nations and so forth. So when they tried to push that, the president, they said, no, it's a marriage between male and female. We're not going to do this. And actually, they persecuted and prosecuted homosexuals. And guess what they did? The United States and the United Nations, they stopped threatening them to take their aid away from from Uganda. And it's interesting. I think one of the, I don't know if it's the same president, but he said, we would rather die pure and moral than rich and immoral. I was like, hey, wow. that's the view. So of course, when you go to some countries like Thailand and other places, Thailand was way ahead of the West and America on transgenderism and sex change operations. Yeah. The perversion there, it's way on steroids, let's put it this way.
Okay.
But other countries, they don't care.
Okay. So now one thing I wanted to talk to you about, speaking of delusion and apostasy, let's, guys, play this clip from the quote-unquote sermon that was preached at President Trump and J.D. Vance at the National Cathedral. Go ahead.
In the name of our God, I ask you to have mercy upon the people in our country who are scared now. There are gay, lesbian, and transgender children in Democratic, Republican, and independent families, some who fear for their lives. And the people who pick our crops and clean our office buildings, who labor in poultry farms and meatpacking plants, who wash the dishes after we eat in restaurants and work the night shifts in hospitals, they may not be citizens or have the proper documentation. But the vast majority of immigrants are not criminals. They pay taxes and are good neighbors. They are faithful members of our churches and mosques, synagogues, wadara, and temples.
Okay, Elijah, where do you start with this? But I just want to share a quote from Charlie Kirk and let you take it away. He said, Bishop Marianne Edgar Booty is the bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Washington. She's the first woman to hold the position. She was given a great honor, a chance to unify America around a Christian message at the dawn of a new administration. Instead, she disgraced herself with a lecture you'd hear on CNN or an episode of The View. What an embarrassment. Elijah, go ahead.
Well, at first, it's disrespectful. You have a new duly elected president sitting in the church. He came to give thanks to God and hear you as a representative, supposedly a representative of God, to open God's word and give thanks to God and say what God has to say. Leave your politics out of it. But could you imagine what the media will do and The View and all of these left media would have said if Obama's sitting there and somebody from that pulpit chastise him about what Obama's agenda? Could you imagine what would happen to that person or how they're going to blanket all Christians who have this view because we're all divisive and bigots and all of that stuff? So it's really, she was out of line. And here's something else. You remember what they say, that politics should not be preached from the church, from the pulpit?
That's right.
Separation church and state. Well, there she is. It's like, really? So, and that really should be a message to... to pastors in America. What are you afraid of? Speak the scripture.
Yep.
Talk about what's happening in the culture. Speak biblically in love but truth, but also call a spade a spade. If you have two candidates, look, I'm not saying that Trump is my savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Amen.
But between him and Kamala, or before him, before Kamala is Biden, let's look at the options. What do they stand for? Whichever's closest to my biblical worldview, that's the person I'm going to vote for. But you need to tell the congregation that. You need to explain, you as a pastor, where do you stand? But unfortunately, major pastors in America, not all, but majority of them, bought into the idea of separation church of state, which is one, unbiblical, two, it's not in the Constitution.
That's right.
And the founding fathers, that was not the intention about this letter, that, and you know, the letter about the separation church of state. So they bought into that lie. And second, they are hostages to the IRS because of the 501c3 nonprofit status. So my question is, you heard me say this, this is my soap opera box. My question is, since when, can you show me since when, why the Church of the Living God survived for 1950 years without the IRS? How come all of a sudden for the last 50, 60 years, the church cannot plant a church or establish without a paper from a heathen institution called the IRS to start to open their doors to be a nonprofit? The second question to that, would the church members go to that church and still give their tithe knowing that they're not going to get tax deduction if the church says we don't want to be a nonprofit or have a 501c3 because we're a church of the living God? We acknowledge by the Constitution of the United States to assembly as a church because it survived from 1776 to 1950s with Lyndon B. Johnson. So I was not even born in America, and I know this.
Mm-hmm.
But where are the church members or the church leaders in America? How come they don't stand up? That's what I like about Paul Blair, which you know him very well, with the Black Robe Regiment and so forth. That's what they've been talking about.
Yeah.
It's trying to raise awareness.
Yeah, we need more Bonhoeffers. Silence in the face of evil is itself evil. But 2 Timothy 3:5 comes to mind. Have this woman... Bishop, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. One more quote, and I'll get your response. We've got to wrap it up in 3 minutes, Elijah Abraham. This is from Eric Metaxas, who said a woman can't be bishop. Let's just start there. And a Christian cannot believe God makes us gay or lesbian or transgender. That is a lie in complete contradiction to what the Bible says. The Episcopal Church turned its back on God decades ago, and this sermon, in air quotes, was proof. Your thoughts?
I totally agree. I mean, if you look at the qualification of a bishop slash elder, it's a man. It's not there, a woman. It's the same thing with prophets. If you look at the Old Testament and the New Testament, all the prophets were men, an exception with Deborah. And the reason with that, if you know your biblical history, because there were no men in the all of Israel really seeking after God except Deborah, and God used her because he had to use somebody, and he did with her to appoint Barak to lead God's army to fight the fight. Mm-hmm. However, that's an exception. It's not in the rule.
Yep.
So are there deaconesses, women? Yes, but not elders to teach and preach the word of God. So this modern day, women pastors, and I know I'm going to be chastised over it, but for me, hey, it's not me. It's God's word. Your fight is not with me. It's with God's word and Jesus. So take your fight with him. Don't take it with me. Just because I don't agree with your worldview of we're in the 21st century, we're a modern church, and we should allow women, they're great teachers. Of course, there's a lot of them are a whole lot better Bible teachers than some of the men I came across. But the Bible is Bible, and the authority is authority. You will have to go through that.
Amen. And there are warnings about the philosophies of this world and warnings about the church conforming to the world. Elijah, one more minute. How's your health, and how can people be praying for you as you get ready for your next trip?
Well, as I get older, things start falling apart, as you know. Thank you for asking that question. Physical health is important, and I'm trying to stay healthy and watch my diet and so forth. So pray for my back. I always have chronic back pain since 1997. Mm. Wow. But by God's grace, I continue to do what I do. And I've been in 51 countries. Praise the Lord for that and counting. Pray for my family because we're always under attack. When you're in the ministry, you're constantly under spiritual attack. Mm. I pray for funding because our ministry, we help overseas pastors as well as humanitarian work like Indonesia and other and Ukraine and other places. But also because of the inflation, we lost some supporters. But by God's grace, we are still here. So I appreciate the question, and I appreciate your listeners, and prayer is number one need for us.
Thank you, brother. We appreciate your time. We will do this again. Thanks so much for all you do.
I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much, and I'm really proud of you, and you're a good soldier to stand beside me, that's for sure.
May Christ be praised. Friends, thank you so much for sharing the podcast. God bless you, and as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.